Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. For episode 92 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about time management 101 with our guest, Mike Vardy. Mike is the founder of Productivityist, an online blog that provides a treasure trove of productivity articles and insights. Mike is also a writer, speaker, and podcaster whose work has appeared in places like Success Magazine, The Huffington Post, Lifehacker, 99U, and more. He is also the author of the book, The Front Nine, How to Start the Year You Want, Anytime You Want. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Mike to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark. Really appreciate it.
Mike, it is a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. And before we dive deep into time management 101, I always love asking my guests for some backstory. So, when did you first start to take productivity seriously?
I think I really started taking it seriously when I was trying to manage my management job at Costco, where I was managing like the food court area where the hot dog and pop is served. And then the service deli area, which is kind of where the rotisserie chickens are, two very different businesses. And I had to not only have a good handle on my time, but I had to craft it in such a way that I had one mindset when I was in the food court and another mindset when I was in the deli. But then I also was, you know, I was dating at the time. And I was at that point in time, I'd finally met my who would be the woman who'd become my wife. So I was trying to make sure I had time for her. And then ultimately, we got pregnant. After we got married, and then all of a sudden it became, how do I manage that? My Costco career, and then I was doing comedy again. I like acting and creative stuff that I had done through high school, and I was trying to manage all of that stuff. And I just decided, you know what? I need to have some kind of framework in place. I'm big on frameworks. I mean, I had them in place for my work, but I wanted to have some scaffolding for my life. And I just started to dive in deeper into productivity. So, you know, Stephen Covey and the Tony Robbins stuff and, you know, I mean, even getting into David Allen and all that stuff. And then what I found was I became, you know, almost obsessive about it, you know, to the point where it went from being an avid productivity enthusiast to like an addicted person, where it was how I saw everything. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I eventually got to write for David Allen's blog, the GTD Times. And then I ultimately became this productivity strategist, which is not something that I really intended on doing. I intended on being at Costco until I could afford to become an actor and do comedy and stuff like that, and do that kind of creative work. But luckily, I found something that allows me to still be creative, do my own podcasts, you know, do my own, do talks on stage and be a writer, but actually be able to help people along the way in a very different way. So that's kind of how it happened. And I've been doing this now for over 10 years and I just am diving deeper into it and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Mike, thank you for sharing that backstory. And I love how you wanted to express yourself in that creative fashion. And even though the acting didn't necessarily work, you found another outlet to express what you wanted to express all along. So there are different ways that we can achieve the dreams and the objectives that we have. And a lot of that comes down to how we utilize our time. But I feel like time management is a topic where people struggle with the way they utilize their time. So why do you believe so many people have such difficulty with managing the way they use their time?
I think that they don't think about time as something that is not linear. I mean, it because time moves by so quickly, and we tend to think, how can we fill every moment as it comes our way? So the next moment, the next moment, the next moment. There's lots of people out there who, if they don't get something done today, they push it to the next tomorrow, and then the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow, and it never really gets done. So they don't approach it with this idea, like it's almost like a framework, like a clean slate. If you looked at a calendar, you know, it's seven blocks of time over the course of a week, right? Or there's 30 blocks or 31 or 28, depending on what month you're in, over the course of a month. And people don't think that they have as much control over that as they do. And they kind of let the days run them, as Jim Rohn said, instead of you running the day runs you. And, you know, people, the other kind of paradox to that, though, is that they say, well, I don't really want to be trapped in a box. I don't want this framework. If I have too much structure, then I don't have enough spontaneity. But often what they forget is that if you have structure, then you can work within that structure to have spontaneity. So it's like, okay, think about the day like a work day. So a lot of people assume that a day is not like the 24-hour period, but it's the time that they go to work till the time they get home from work. They don't really map out necessarily what they do in the morning. Not everybody is. I would say the vast majority don't. And then when they get home in the evening, most people just crash and watch Netflix or do whatever, and they don't really have a plan for after the day. Well, you know, this is not a new problem. Arnold Bennett wrote the book How to Live on 24 Hours a Day, and I learned this from Cal Newport in his book Deep Work. And most people just, you know, assume that that 9-to-5 block or that 8-to-5 block or whatever it is, that's their day. But there's time before, time after. You can guide your day. You can define it. And then what you can do is within that, you can create kind of these pathways to allow you to, you know, funnel your focus and then ultimately make every moment matter. But I think a lot of people feel that time is out of their control. Time moves faster than they are able to keep up with. And so instead of slowing down and saying, okay, how do I lead myself? How do I, instead of necessarily managing time, how do I craft my time? So that way, when, you know, Wednesday rolls along and you know, okay, what does Wednesday mean? Not what am I going to do today, but, oh, Wednesday means this. Okay, well, these tasks fall into this theme. Here's how I'm going to approach them. So I think that people let the clock and the calendar kind of rule them instead of using them as an ally, if that makes any sense.
I really do. I mean, you shared a lot of great insights with that, and people definitely in like life constantly moving really fast have that difficulty with managing all the things. And I mean, as entrepreneurs, like we don't necessarily, we don't have that 9-to-5 type of lifestyle. So it's a little different for entrepreneurs, but there are a lot of people who think like once they get home or something like that, like they are done for the day. But as you mentioned, there are like different things that we could be doing. But how exactly do we determine the different tasks and activities that we pursue each day?
So what I recommend people do is that they theme their time. So for example, and I've been talking about this for years, but the idea that every day, instead of asking yourself what's the next action, you work backwards from your certainties, the certain things that happen during the week, and you say, okay, well, Wednesday is a day where there's a lot of meetings. Okay, so I'm not going to make Wednesday a day where I do a lot of deep work. Instead, maybe that's going to be a day where I do more administrative tasks. Or maybe it's a low energy task day, or maybe it's just called meeting day. And that's where you try to do either meeting prep, meeting follow up, and actually have meetings. But it's about trying to get into the state of flow. And when you get in that state of flow, it's like kind of being in the zone where, you know, you're not stopping to ask so many questions and you're not moving and shifting gears. Instead, you're saying, okay, Wednesday is meeting day. So everything I do, the primary focus of the day, the overarching focus is going to be all around meetings, whether it's preparing for meetings, arranging meetings, being in meetings, that's what it's going to be. And if that's too narrow, then maybe it's a networking day. And so then your focus is maybe delivering, focusing on outbound marketing or something like that. Whatever you can kind of, you know, attach or define as an emphasis for that time period. And some people can't do it by day of the week either. Some people have to do it by what I call horizontal theming, which is, okay, from 9 to 11, Monday through Friday, I'm going to focus on marketing. And then from 11 to noon, I'm going to focus on communication. And from noon to 2, I'm going to focus on deep work, like the stuff that's going to really, you know, the growth of the business and you know, self-growth and all that. And then from 2 to 5, I'm going to focus on, I don't know, serving mode, which is like I'm going to serve others. But the point is that the calendar can be a guide in terms of, hey, this is what this time period represents, whether it's the day, whether it's the hour, or whether it's a combination of both. I actually use both in tandem. So today is my audio video day as we're recording this. But then from 10 p.m. to midnight, because I'm a bit of a night owl, that's my writing time. So that overrides, you know, the daily theme of audio. So once 10 o'clock hits, I get a notification that says, hey, it's time to write. that overrides the daily theme. So it's about giving yourself something to, you know, your brain needs that. Your brain needs to have binary decisions, because it's way easier for you to say, what time is it? Oh, it's 10 o'clock. What does that time mean? As opposed to, well, now what do I do? Or, well, what am I going to do today? Well, what day is it? Oh, it's Wednesday. Well, what's Wednesday mean? Wednesday means audio, video. And then you can group your tasks accordingly. You could use a task manager to create tags or labels around those themes. Or you could use a, if you're using paper, you just, I have a strategy that I use where I put the columns M-A-P-S, mode, action, project, and schedule. And every action gets a mode. So if it's a theme-based mode, and there's a lot more to this than that, but I mean, there are five categories of modes that I teach in my methodology called time crafting. But one of those modes is theme-based. So I could literally list all these actions, and then I could say, okay, well, this is an audio task. Oh, this is a low energy task, or this is a writing task. And then you're grouping the tasks by the modality and the theme that they belong to, as opposed to just going down the list in sequential order. Because often when you do that, you're kind of jumping all over the place. So it's about setting yourself up and putting, like I said, a framework in place. Because once you do that, and once you have these kind of boundaries and these rules, then you're able to foster freedom. You're able to let your brain do some of the bigger thinking, because it knows that if something goes amiss, that it's got this other framework, this structure that it can fall back on and rely on and trust.
And I really like that idea of theming your days and theming certain parts of your days. And I've actually done this before, like, for instance, podcast interviews. I do those on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. For other areas, it hasn't been as good, though. Like, for content creation, I used to batch all my blog posts on, like, Saturday, Sunday. Couldn't do it. And then I wrote content every single day, so...
Which is a horizontal theme. See, that's the thing too, right? You got to figure out what the great thing about productivity and time management. It's personal. That's why I try to say it's personal productivity. It's what is your intention, and then how are you going to pay attention to it? I think that's what productivity really is. I don't think it's solely efficiency and effectiveness, which a lot of people, or speed and output. I think it's what you want to do is say, what is my intention? My intention is to write content regularly and make sure that I have the best content. Okay, how am I going to pay attention to that? Well, I'm going to batch it on Saturday and Sunday, so those are going to be my content creation days. Well, and then things kind of go south with that. Yeah. And so instead of you saying, well, and this is what a lot of people do though, right, Mark, is they'll say, oh, well, this doesn't work. And they throw it all away. They just toss it all away. They go, well, this didn't work. Instead, and this is why I believe journaling is such a key part too to time management, is to reflect. You have to look back so that you can move forward in the right direction. I mean, I'm not saying you should always look back, but you have to have to know where you come from so that you can move forward, so you don't necessarily go back to where you don't want to be. So if you're saying to yourself, well, Saturday and Sunday didn't work, but I want to create content consistently, okay, I'm going to do a horizontal theme from, and then you might say, I'm a morning person, so it's going to be from 7 to 9 or 7 to 10. Or you might be like me, who's an evening person, so it's going to be from like 10 to midnight. But the point is that you want to give your brain as little friction as possible. You want to have that flexibility there, and you want to have, but with as little friction as possible. And even though, and again, horizontal theming will work better for some people, and it will work better for some types of activities, whereas daily theming will work better for some types of people and some types of activities. The great thing is with time crafting, it's not like so many other systems where if you don't do it all, you're not doing it right. And I'm sure you've come across systems like that where you feel like, well, I didn't do the review, or I didn't do this thing. I guess I'm doing it wrong. The thing about time crafting is that you can take pieces of it. So maybe you can't theme a day, but you can only do horizontal theming. Or maybe you're not going to journal every day, but you're going to journal, you know, every other day, or you're going to journal once a week or something like that. Or you're not going to work by all five categories of modes. Instead, you're going to use energy-based modes only. The thing is, you can take all those pieces and craft a system that works for you, because you know, even when business isn't personal, productivity always is.
And I definitely agree how it's different for each person. Like, someone listening to this right now could be really effective at batching all their blog posts for Saturday. But me, I feel like I have to write them every day. But like, let's say you batch it for one day of the week, like a particular activity. Like, I'll use myself as an example. I tried to batch videos on one day of the week, and there was a point where, like, I was regularly doing multiple videos per day, but
at a certain point, like the batching just wasn't working. And then I ended up like not doing videos for a very long period of time. I only got back into doing video very recently. I'm trying to make that into a habit where I could do at least 10 videos a week. I'm still working on that. But what do you recommend for establishing a routine, whether it's daily or batched? And even if you've lost a routine, how do you reclaim it?
So that's that's an interesting question. It's a really good question too, is the idea that I think the biggest thing that a lot of people do is when I introduce this idea of theming their time and time crafting in general is they want to start right away. And you can't start all of it right away, because if you were to start tomorrow, you would look at your days and go, well, I can't theme that day and that day doesn't work. You have to look a little bit further out than that. So when I work with somebody, I say, look at least 3 weeks out and then see what's in your calendar that's consistent. Oh, well, I have a meeting every Wednesday. Or, oh, Sunday is service, so I go to church. Or Monday is, my wife is home. Like that. So what you have to do is you have to work backwards from those certainties. And I mean, when I put together my theme days, I recognize that like Mondays and Fridays, while, they are work days, occasionally the kids are home on Mondays and Fridays because of school holidays. So I'm not going to put something that needs to be done consistently on those days just in case it, the kids are home. Right. So Tuesday through Thursday is more likely when you're going to see me doing like admin work and audio video and, training stuff, because I know that the kids at least will not be home. But Monday would be my optimization day and Friday is my deep work day, which I can afford to lose those every once in a while when the kids are home. So when you said that batching your videos didn't work after a certain period of time, then what needs to happen there, and this is why I think journaling is so valuable, is you need to ask yourself why. Like, okay, batching's been, like, I've been getting videos done like every Wednesday, and now I've just run, why? Why am I out of steam? Well, maybe I just don't have enough topics, or maybe I'm just too tired. I can't do like 4 videos a day anymore. Or, and this happens a lot too, you get so far ahead, then you take a break. And then the break extends to 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks, and all of a sudden you're behind again. So you feel like you're on this roller coaster. So then what you need to do is say, okay, well, how do I fix that? Like, is it me or is it the system that's broken? And more often than not, it's the person. It's the person is either they've kind of got, like in your example, what I would say is you've probably done I've done this too. Too many videos in one day for too long. You either get comfortable, you get tired, and then you take a break, and then all of a sudden it catches up and it's not working. So instead, you can't just say, okay, well, I'm going to do them every day, because that might not work either, because in some cases you don't have the room to keep your lighting kit up all the time. Like, there's so many things that won't work. But what you could say is, okay, well, look, what if I had 2 theme days for video? So instead of me doing 4 videos in one day, what if I did 2 on like Tuesday and then another 2 on Thursday? Or I did them maybe in the mornings on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and then on Tuesday, Wednesday afternoons, I have 2 completely different themes. So it's about trying to figure out where you can slot those things, where you're not overwhelmed and you're not underwhelmed. You're just whelmed. You know what I mean? Like you're just right at that level where it's like, and it's happened with me with my podcast too. Like my podcast, I actually, as of this recording, we have guests booked all the way until the end of September 2018. But I only have episodes like actually finished until January of 2018 as we're recording this. My intent was to be all the way through to March by now, but I got complacent. That's why I have audio and video on the same day, because if I'm not doing audio, I'm doing video. So I think that those, like looking at your days and looking at your time and going, what makes the most sense? And then the other thing is making sure it's not too narrow. Like if you said Wednesday was video day, that's a lot of different types of video, right? You could be making video for courses. You could be making videos for Instagram. You could be making videos for YouTube. That's one thing, and that's broad. But if you said Wednesday is YouTube day, then that's not necessarily all video making. That could be. It could be you're going to make a whole bunch of videos, but maybe you're going to make art for your YouTube channel. Maybe you're going to curate playlists. Maybe you're going to create some ads. So they're both quintessentially – they have one thing that tethers them together, which is the idea of video and YouTube, but they're very different. So – you're also not going to be the person that says, okay, well, Wednesday's Periscope day, because let's face it. I mean, if you're spending a whole day on Periscope right now, you better be like, first off, why? And secondly, there's nothing that's going to fill that whole day. And so at the end of, when you're done all the Periscope tasks, then your brain goes, well, now what? the day's done. Like, I've themed my day. Like, I've done all the Periscope tasks. So it's about finding, again, that happy medium of, you don't want it to be too broad because then you see too many things, and you don't want it to be too narrow because you run out of things to do. So you have to find this middle ground. And then I guess the third thing that I would recommend is tether it to a routine, like a morning or evening routine. I'll give you an example. Tuesday nights, you know, my evening routine is pretty static, and my evening routine is more important to me than my morning routine because my evening routine, I'm a night owl. So I can actually get things set. And then when I wake up in the morning, everything is already set, so I could be a zombie when I wake up. But on Tuesdays, the only thing I do different is I make sure that my lighting and audio and all that stuff is set up. I have everything ready to go so that if I was to come downstairs at 9 o'clock, even if I'm in a daze, I could start recording right away, whether it's audio or video. And so, like, you want to make sure that you can kind of test. So if you're a writer, maybe the thing you have on your desktop is you have Google Doc, like your opening tab is a Google Doc, or it's Google Drive, or maybe if you're using a native app, it's you on the Mac, it's Ulysses or whatever. But the point is that you create these like little these avatars that kind of push you in that direction, because your brain there will not want to do the work that you have preset it to do in a lot of ways, especially if it's hard work. It will find ways to avoid it. There's nothing more hilarious than when I tell someone when they're talking about, well, what happens when you come home and you watch Netflix? Well, I'm like, what if you put a Netflix list together? Like, you know, the My List function. And I said, your rule is that you only watch things that are on your list. And they're like, oh man, but that really narrows it. Like here's the funny part, Mark, is the things that are on your list, you decided earlier that they're things you wanted to watch, right?
Yeah.
And so what you end up doing is wasting time searching for this new thing, but you've got a whole list in front of you that is like, okay, well, let me at least look at that list first. Or better still, no matter what, that's your rule. Hey, you know what? I'm going to watch the new Star Wars L3 documentary because I like have a versatile enough list instead of scrolling around aimlessly looking for something to watch on Netflix. Like, it's about having some intention when you go into something so you could pay attention to it, because intention without attention is powerless, and attention without intention is aimless. And that's the other thing we do is we'll go into our email inboxes and we'll clear them out. But why? Was your intention to get through email? Okay. Why? Why is that your intention? Well, I'm a customer service rep or today's email day. Great. But if you're doing it as habitually because you just believe you should get to inbox zero, and then other more important things are falling by the wayside, then really your attention is being pushed by, like, there's no intention pushing it. So you're just kind of wandering aimlessly. So you have to find simple things that you can attach them to. And it's not that hard to do. It's just hard to recognize the need to do it, if that makes sense.
Mike, thank you for sharing those very valuable insights with us on how we're able to establish the routines that we want to set up for, like, a theme for the day, for the week. And because those are really valuable for ensuring that we have a flow for getting the work done. And when we when we pursue certain tasks, it's usually to achieve an end result. So earlier we were talking about how you may be creating a training course again for Skillshare really soon. So you have this goal and you want to achieve it, but how can we achieve our desired results faster? So what are some of the things we could do to speed up the process? I know, as you talked about earlier, productivity isn't 100% about effective and efficiency, but everyone's looking to just get their goal accomplished a little faster so they can move on to the next one.
So again, theming helps because you lower decision fatigue, right? Because you know, okay, this is what I do on this day, especially if you've really gotten clear about what your daily theme should be. Secondly, I use theming with months too. So I'll give you a great example. In September, I wanted to, I wanted to become a better runner. You know, I want to get in better shape. And I decided that running would be a way to do that. And so I basically made running my monthly theme. So when I was sitting at my desk, I could see, and I have it on my Google Calendar as well as on my wall calendar, that my overarching focus for that month should be running. And so I did. I put a plan in place. I put together the Couch to 5K program. And then all of a sudden a race just, you know, happily fell into my lap on October 8th. And I ran it, and I ran 8 kilometers, the entire 8 kilometers. And I hadn't run any more than 4 up to that point, I think 3.5. And, now I'm running, I've signed up for 5 more races in 2018, and I am now a runner because I made consistent measured progress on it over the course of an entire month. Same thing with the Skillshare course, right? In December, my goal was to focus on the Skillshare course. And, you know, as of January, it's out. So you can get it now. If you go to just look up Google Skillshare and Mike Vardy, and I've got a couple courses there. But you'll see that, like, that wasn't something that I just said, let me throw it together in a couple days. It was, okay, December, my overarching focus is the Skillshare class. So when I was looking at my daily themes, and this is how they work together, my Monday daily theme is optimization. So I'm like, well, what kind of optimization should I do? Oh, well, my monthly theme is Skillshare building. So what optimization can I do inside of Skillshare? Okay, Tuesday's admin. What admin can I do inside of it? So all of a sudden, I'm able to make measured progress on this specific goal, project, whatever, but I'm using my daily themes to do it. And because they're in that sweet spot of not being too broad or too narrow, I'm able to make measured progress on the big goal as well as still get the little, still make, you know, progress on the other things that aren't my primary focus for the month. And further to that, what I really like about this is that it allows me to kind of, you can actually, if you theme every month, if you were to do that, if you theme all 12 months of the year, you get 12 major goals generally knocked out of the park. And again, you could probably do that. You don't have to have a goal for every single month. You don't have to have a theme for every single month. But the point is that by doing that, that allows me to get things done in that period of time. And if you want to get even more granular, you could say, you know what, forget a monthly theme. I'm going to do what I call a weekly sprint. And what that is that it's, you know how I told you that horizontal themes override the daily themes, right? Well, a weekly sprint overrides the monthly theme. So if my monthly theme was, say, the Skillshare class, but this week my overarching, my weekly sprint was my now year planning course. Let's say just, you know, the launch. Let's say it's a launch. Then all of a sudden, my Monday tasks that are optimization don't go towards the Skillshare class. It goes towards that launch. And so you can do a few weekly sprints a year. I think I do about one every 6 weeks. But if you're a multi-potentialite, which is a phrase Emily Wapnick coined, you might want to do just weekly sprints and not do monthly themes. And maybe you have 52 weekly sprints. So again, you can craft your time in a way that allows you to say, hey, you know what? I want to work on some things over a 30-day period, or in some cases, I just got to get this done in 7 days. And it's all about funneling your focus. And that's what this kind of thing can do for you. It's what it's done for me. And actually, within 2 weeks of recording this, I have a sprint to update my entire coaching program. And I'm going to be able to do that in a 7-day period. And it's all because I can say, okay, Monday, I'm optimizing it. Tuesday, I'm doing the admin work on it. Wednesday, any audio or video is going to happen towards that. Thursday, all the training. So I'm going to, you know, learn about stuff, or I'm going to or going to beta test it with somebody, let's say. Friday is deep work, which means I'm going to dive deep into it. Saturday is my family day, so I'm not going to do any work for it. But then Sunday is my planning day. And I start my week on a Sunday, so the planning would have come first. That's all of this stuff can allow you to really funnel your focus and ultimately make every moment of your time matter.
And I definitely agree that the way we use our time does impact all those moments and the results that we get as we pursue our goals. And as we're pursuing our goals, we're also on the path of unlocking our full potential. But I believe that not everyone is achieving their full potential. And even people who are very successful, they still feel like they have a ways to go to tap into their full potential. It's a moving target that as we hit it, like, it just seems to take a different position. So what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
That's a really good question. And I'm going to give you, I think one of the biggest things is fear. And this is not new. And it shows up in really unexpected ways. I'm a big fan of the Green Lantern, like Hal Jordan Green Lantern. That's my Green Lantern. But I mean, people who've been following me know that I have a Green Lantern collection, all that stuff. Like, I'm big into it. And the reason is because he's got this ring and the power of will, which is green is the power. It represents the power of will, is I can I have a ring that I wear that my family got for me. It's just to show that, you know, like, fear shows up in the most unlikeliest of places. Fear can show up in the thing, in the face of the, you know, there's no, I in the imposter syndrome. Now, who am I to tell people how to do this stuff? Or, there's no way that I could possibly reach that level. Then there's the other fear of, what if I do reach that level? What if I am getting to that point? I'm going to have to raise my game, and that's involves more work, or I'm going to have more people nipping at my heels, or I'm going to have more opportunities given to me that I'm going to have to evaluate and say yes or no to. You've got the Now page up on your site. I know I have mine too, the Derek Sivers Now page. I mean, there's a great example of those boundaries are put in place so that you're basically heading people off at the pass to say, look, here's what I'm doing right now. I'm not going to do anything else right now. I'm not, you know, that's kind of, you're putting an emphatic statement there. That's kind of what I do as well. Fear also, like, it, I think that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of people think it's the fear of failure. And I think that that's part of it, but I think fear of success, like what comes with it, because it's uncertain. You don't know. I mean, if someone said to me, you know, 2 years ago, hey, Mike, you're going to be speaking on the stage in the Philippines, and you're going to be working on your next book, and it's going to be what you consider to be your legacy building book, and you're going to be doing that. Like, I would have said, no, well, what? No, I'm fine where I am. Like, this is, but ultimately I'm not. Like, ultimately, if you're an entrepreneur, most human beings want to strive to be better. We're natural explorers. We want to explore the unknown. We want to get better. But I think that fear is what holds us back. And by, again, when you put like a framework or a foundation in place, it's like a security blanket of sorts. It lessens the fear. It's like, what if this doesn't work? Well, don't worry, because you've got this here. Okay, all right. Well, so I'm not going to fall as far. That's right. You're not going to fall as far. So I think that it's those two things. But I think most people tend to think, oh, it's fear of failure. I think fear of failure is part of it, but I think fear of success is another one that we don't look at nearly. And the ego is what actually plays a role. If you've read Ryan Holiday's Ego is the Enemy, you'll know that it plays a role in both of those things, both, you know, failure and success.
Mike, thank you for sharing with us some of the reasons that we're not unlocking our full potential now and how we can eventually unlock our potential. And on that journey towards reaching our full potential, there are going to be certain challenges that we face along that journey. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced on your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
This is another great question. So I'm an achiever. I'm called the productivityist for a reason. I try to be productive. But I do overestimate what I can accomplish in a set period of time. I'll give you an example of when this happened. So in November, I set out to write NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. I was going to write a novel in a 30-day period. And I wrote exactly 0 words of that novel. I themed the month. I did everything right. I did everything that I always do. And it just – circumstances came up. There was travel to London. There was a lot of things that showed up that I didn't expect. And I got tired too. I felt like I was trying to do too much. And so I did a video and I said, I actually called it Nano Rhino because I didn't do it. And what I did was I just moved everything to next November because that's the next National Novel Writing Month. And I had people that were like, I had a lot of people that were supportive. They're like, oh, good to see you're walking the walk and good to see that you fail too. Good that you're not afraid to like humanize things a bit and say, look, I screw up. But there were people that said, well, why don't you just start now? Like, just start it now. Like, do it now. And my answer to that was, you know, I have 11 other things in front of it, 11 other monthly themes in front of it, and a couple of weekly sprints too. So if I do that now, then all of my other efforts are going to be less than because of it. You know what I mean? And I was recently on Chris Ducker's podcast, and it's where I revealed that we're going to be rebranding because as you at the top of the podcast, and this, believe me, this is not you, everybody, the fumbling over the word productivityist is not a new thing at all. So we're rebranding because we're actually going to be rebranding as Time Crafting because that's kind of what I teach and that's the direction we're heading in. But that's terrifying too, because I've been doing this for 10 years as productivityist. And I remember Chris asking me, You know, so when he, like, when is this going to be complete? I'm like, oh, it'll be complete by like between September and November of 2018. And he said, if you've listened to the show, it's a really good episode. You know, he goes, wow, the way you were talking, I thought it would be done in, you know, the next 90 days. I'm like, nah, fools rush in. You can't do, David Allen has this great quote, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. And that's been one of my biggest lessons is really most of us tend to overestimate or underestimate the amount of time it will take to do something. And we overestimate the time we have. And if you want to deliver something, not just ship it, shipping is great, but if you want to deliver, which means like you're not making any compromises, especially for those things that really, really matter to you, then you're going to want to make sure that you leave yourself enough bandwidth and margin to do it. And that's been one of my biggest lessons, which you think as a productivity strategist, it would be something I would have had out of the gate. But most people, including myself initially, productivity is about being more productive. But being more productive doesn't necessarily mean doing more things. It just means doing things right.
Mike, thank you for sharing with us that big challenge and the powerful lesson you learned during that challenge. And earlier you mentioned Ryan Holiday's Ego is the Enemy, which is a really great book. But in addition to that book, I'm wondering if you could recommend three other great book recommendations for us.
So the three books. So there's one called The Go-Giver, and it's by Bob Berg. And it's a parable style. So it's in the style of like the 1 Minute Manager and the Richest Man in Babylon. I really liked it. I listened to the audio version of it. I really enjoyed it. I would say, man, there's so many good books that I have here. I would say another one would be The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, which I'm sure is not one that you've probably had that one recommended a few times before, I would imagine. That one's a great book. It reminds me, it's just that idea. It's a short read. But it's an important one for people who are like, you know, they want to hit that next level and they want to turn what they have inside into something more and greater. And man, the last one, you know, I'm looking at my shelf. There's there's so many, Mark, there's so many books. I would say that probably, if you haven't read Getting Things Done by David Allen, it's a great read for a number of reasons. Number one, it shows you that, you know, the foundation of personal productivity in a lot of ways. And secondly, it's a book that's got a really high reread value because you'll get something different out of every time you read it. Now, again, it's a short read, but it's a heavy read. So and if you have read the book already, I challenge you to read it again just because there's probably some stuff out of here that you can take. I know that in a lot of what he says in his books, it's like if you don't do it all, then you're not doing it right. I think that there's something to be said for that. But I think if you get some great stuff out of it, and I know I did. I mean, David Allen taught me a whole lot, and he's one of the reasons I do what I do. Those would be the three that I would recommend for now. I mean, I'm reading way more these days than ever before, and I want to read The Power of Moments by the Heath brothers, Chip and Dan Heath. I mean, I don't know, Mark, you probably read a lot too. So there's just so much great stuff out there to read. Narrowing it down to three books is really, really tough.
I understand. I love asking this question because it gets people to really think about what their favorite books are. And that definitely provides more value to the listeners and more options for them.
But, what's your favorite productivity time management book that you've read today? Let me turn the table a little bit. What's your favorite that you've read today?
Compound Effect. That is a really
good one. That's Darren Hardy. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Yeah, that's another really good one.
All right. Well, Mike, since you turned the tables on me, I'm actually going to turn the tables back on you. So I've asked you a lot of questions throughout this episode. And with that in mind, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh man. One question that we need to be asking ourselves more often. I would say, am I using my time wisely? Am I investing my time wisely? It's actually a better question. Am I investing my time wisely? Because that's going to lead to other questions. It's not a perfect, you know, like yes or no, because I think there's more to it than that. But I think when you use the term investing, it's showing that like you're where you put it, because we don't get time back. Like we can earn more money. We can, you know, we do. Time moves on whether we want it to or not. And you want to make sure you're investing it in the right thing. So am I, the question would be either, am I investing my time wisely or am I investing my time in the right things? And when you ask that question relentlessly, then the right things either bubble to the surface and the answer is pretty obvious, or you just evaluate so that you can find out what the right things are. Because if you're just, again, if you're moving forward, if you're checking off boxes, but you don't feel like you're moving forward, then chances are you're checking off the wrong boxes.
Mike, thank you for posing that question to Breakthrough Success listeners. And for listeners wondering where to find Mike on the web, Mike, where would we go?
So I'll send you to this link that gets you this little free mini course, email course that it kind of gets rid of some of the cruft of your to-do list. If you go to productivityist.com/free-to-do-list-help, it's like a little mini guided course. You get a little bit of an audio with it as well. And it'll just kind of help you with all those little nagging tasks that are sitting on your to-do list that you probably aren't thinking. They may not even be on your to-do list yet, but you're like, oh, I should be adding that. I put that like a checklist together. And that kind of will help you lead down the path of maybe getting to the point where you are checking off more of the right boxes. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Mike Vardy on Twitter. And that's where I spend most of my social media time these days.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those links and the show notes will be at markgaberti.com/E92. Mike, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Great questions, and I had a really, really good time. Thanks for having me.
Breakthrough Success listeners, I need your help to keep this show running. I choose not to use sponsored ads in my episodes to provide you with a better experience. However, this decision gives me little money to pay for storage in my team, which comes over to over $1,000 per month. So please consider supporting the Breakthrough Success Podcast on Patreon by heading over to patreon.com/markguberti. For as little as $1 per month, you can help Breakthrough Success stay running while taking advantage of exclusive content and other perks that come with being a patron. To help support Breakthrough Success, head over to patreon.com/markguberti or search for Breakthrough Success on Patreon. That way, I can maintain the Breakthrough Success podcast so it stays running and provide you with valuable episodes.